should we that if there's a natural disaster, those news media people shouldn't be able to harass those people coming in to try to get relief help.
Yeah, they absolutely shouldn't. And I was having a discussion with a friend of mine in the Army and Army Air Force the other day, and they were getting pissed off because they were like, yeah, there's you would have these news anchors come and try to, you know, talk to you and get the story. Meanwhile, live ammunition is going off and they're being called heroes. And so my friend was like, no, we got to sit here and take care of these untrained folks who have no business doing here. These civilians, and they're American civilians, and they got cameras. Well, while I'm trying to
back. Yeah. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Mike. But yeah, while I'm trying to fight the freaking enemy, trying to take care of this news anchor, are you kidding me? Screw you. Go away. That you just don't need the news in all these areas.
No. Well, I mean, and those are the embedded journalists.
Why can't the media go back to reporting stories? You know, we don't. Every media doesn't have to carry every exact same thing. Jesus, if I wanted to hear this 5 million times, you know, I just watch the same thing over and over.
Yesterday's meme. You know, yesterday's meme, Joe, with the Navy pilots skywriting a phallic symbol. You know, I mean, come on. And then that's like instantly everywhere. I mean, what is that? You know,
it's 24 hours.
You know what that is? It's art. And you can't judge somebody's art, man. If that's the way that guy wants to express himself, he should.
He's using government dollars to.
All right, now, look, mister.
Over the children, Mike.
Oh, God, you want to get into government dollars? We could talk about that for weeks and months and years.
So has anyone noticed that the NFL teams that are doing really good aren't kneeling anymore? At all? They just kind of snuck that out of there, man. Like, ooh, we ain't doing that no more. I see old, what's his name, Dallas coach. He's fixing to go to war with the commissioner of all of this. I was like, okay. Right. And then they started laughing at Mr. GQ. I can't believe, who in the hell thought it was a good idea to make this man, something of the year, man of the year?
Yes, citizen of the year.
Citizen of the Year, thank you. Yes.
He did a lot of other things. Like, okay, so there was this one meme going around about the one football player who raised, like, over $3 million for the Hurricane.
$37 million.
$37. I thought it was 3.7. I wasn't.
No, wrong.
No, it was 37.
Look at the wrong with her facts, man. What's up with that?
Public spanking.
Did I say over $3 million? 37 is over $3 million.
It's way over $3 million. Way.
That's fuzzy math.
That's more than Kobe Kaepernick made in his career. That's a lot of money.
The point was that Kaepernick did other stuff outside of his kneeling thing.
Mister, I married a communist bitch. Oh, that's other stuff.
I know.
I hold Cuba in well regards as the nation we should live in. Really? I'm like, dude, have you ever been to Cuba? I'm thinking when he said this, I'm like, dude, Colin, you have never been to Cuba, have you? I'm like, come on, dude, you need to go to Cuba before you say that, man. Come on. And then he's touting Venezuela. I mean, you know, the guy is a twit.
I'm not defending him. I just wanted to point out that meme isn't totally perfect. But, yeah, I don't agree. I was just like, really?
He's a twit. And then they're like, well, I'm suing the NFL because they won't let me play. No, dude, you suck. And more than that, you've been out for almost 2 years. You can't just come back and play football. So nobody's going to give you $26 million a year. So that they can bring you on this year, train you next year, and a year from now let you play football. No,
RG3 can come and keep being a quarterback with his stupid busted knee that my Redskins have.
Oh, RG3 is sexy, though, man.
Yep, so no,
Colin looks like he stuck his weenie in an electric socket, so I'm just saying.
None of his hair, you racist bastard. Hey, what?
That ain't got nothing to do with race. Anybody stuck his, you know what, the socket would look like that.
Afros are beautiful.
I know. I used to date a girl with a big one. But that's beside the point. It still looks like that when he's sitting there with his nose on his face. I'm sorry.
A lot of people say because
his girlfriend. I wish they would have never posted that damn picture. Man, I'd be in trouble for weeks over this.
A lot of people say because his girlfriend is Muslim that she has like this influence over him. I don't know if I believe it or not. But, you know, I think the guy was motivated by his own. I think that he was motivated by his own personal problems and insecurities. But, you know, I don't have a big problem with what he did, as long as that's within the rules. You know what I mean?
Influence him to do that? So
look, I know that stuff can influence guys with a lot of stupid crap. Let's just be honest about it. Men can be really look. We were just talking about all the sexual harassment cases at this. Men obviously can just be stupid, and we've said this 100 million times. It's just not enough blood to go to both heads at the same time. They become stupid, especially young ones become even. Well, you know what? That's not fair. Old ones are just as stupid. I'm sorry, I don't hear you, young guys, because you know what? The old bastards are just as stupid as young ones are. It's
I think.
But, yeah, Mike.
I think the industry term is pussy drunk.
Well, it's something.
Whip.
It's a cat thing.
It's like an orange Julian, huh? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to United Public Radio, and yes, we probably have offended half the country at this point. So, stay and hang out with us. Actually,
well, which country? half of the world.
Yeah, dude, we're probably going out to 150, 160 countries tonight. So, hey, if we've offended any of y'all out there, you know, this is a good opportunity to because. You know, I was watching the Chinese media, actually Asian media today. They love Trump. They think Trump is like, yum, yum. I don't know what it is, but they love Trump. So I'm like, so China really likes the guy. The Russians like Trump. I watched the news media there, and they think they can work with Trump, that Russia and Trump can become fast buddies. And now there's a new conspiracy out there, and I love this one. So, you know, he met with the president of Vietnam. By the way, the president of Vietnam loves him. Okay, that was really strange. And so he's really, you know, so now there's like the Asian pack with Russia, China, Vietnam, Japan. The Japanese love him. Even Duti, the freak that he is. Has started to like Trump. It's almost like some kind of little worship group. So Europe, you know, is getting a little worried because this could be a fundamental shift in power if Trump decided all of a sudden back the Asians, the Asian continent versus Europeans. It would be a fundamental shift. And you know what? Europeans couldn't do nothing about it because do you realize the power of the United States, Russia, and China combined? The world pretty much just became conquered without even a shot being fired. They're pretty much a conquered planet at this point. There's no defense or withstand. There's nothing you could do to stop it. I've never really thought about it because for the most part, we've always been, you know, we love you, Europe, we love you, Europe, we love you, Europe. But recently I've noticed a switch in the way people feel. And even in India, Americans seem to be changing their views on Europe versus the, you know, India, Asia continent.
Right now, Europe is going through a war. They're going through a social war. And then also a religious war in a weird way, and they're being conquered. That there's no one doing anything to stop it. So you'll see.
Viva Austria Merkel.
Austria just put a millennial in there who's anti-immigration. That's interesting. Now you got you have France over 100 people. Over 100 people in the French government have resigned. You know, because their guy went the other way. You know, so people show their true colors, man. You know, but I think that it comes down to money, and their currencies are going down, and that's a problem for them and the rest of the world.
We'll see a switch now because I think all but two of the European leaders are now right wingers. So I think there's only Merkel, and Merkel's not. You know, people get confused about Merkel. She's not actually a liberal; she's really a true middleist, and she just figured, you know, she let her good side. This goes to prove, ladies and gentlemen, no good deed goes unpunished. It just doesn't. She said, you know what? I'm going to let my guard down. Look at these poor babies, these mothers. These women have been abused. It's a chance for them to get freedom. Well, yeah, they – and let's be honest. There's 1.5 million of them. You know, 1 million of them actually been pretty cool. It's just the rest of them haven't been. And, I mean, Sweden's in disarray. Germany's in disarray. France is in disarray. England just put a stop to it. Even though England's got a Muslim – London's got a Muslim mayor. They seem to put a stop to it. You know, they slowed down their borders, stopped letting people in. It's one of the reasons they got Brexit. They wanted to secure their borders. And, you know, if you're part of the EU, you got to let – it doesn't matter. It's an open border.
If you're part of the EU, you're part of the Schengen zone, which means free travel, yes. But, I mean, that's the funny part is – that in America, we have the Mexican gardener or what have you. And in England, they had the Polish plumber.
You have a Mexican gardener? Really?
Yeah, I hear he's kind of hot, too.
That's very racist.
I hear he's kind of hot. She calls him Pepe. I heard the other day, come here, Pepe, I got something for you. I was like, whoa, Lily, calm down here, girl.
The family of El Salvadorians that do pretty much everything for us are absolutely amazing, and I love them very much. And that that plumber that owns the plumbing business, he's sexy as hell. Mike.
Sexually harassing people.
Yeah, she is by grabbing plumber in the ass and stuff.
Absolutely not.
Plumber man, if you would like to file a thing, you can call us here at United Public Radio. We'll help you out. We'll do an investigation in that, what the Congress said. I'm sorry.
But no, it's a matter of, they couldn't control their borders. And a lot of the liberals don't understand that it's actually sincerely important to be able to control your own borders, because that's what makes you a country. That here is my land. I have laws and regulations. You can't just come over here. And that was part of the argument in terms
here's my land. I stole it fair and square from those people over there. Now I'm putting up a wall, you bastards. You stay out they need
the
you.
Is that
what the world's about, man?
Yes, really? It is. And it has been for a millennia now. Get with the program, honey.
Yeah,
man. Well, it's still one damn plan. If you want to get technical.
Greg, what were you saying, man?
I never hear enough about the idea that the Obama administration had limited the number of refugees down to 10,000, and then everybody, of course, the first executive order out of the gate with Trump in January of 2017, we've heard nothing but an endless criticism of that. We even saw where it eventually was dismissed a couple weeks ago, and it got as far as the Supreme Court. Problem the Supreme Court had with the presidential executive order signed by President Trump was that it had expired, and therefore, in their eyes, at that point in time, the issue was moot. But nobody goes back and talks enough about how President Obama in the previous administration, they had limited the number of these refugees down to 10,000 a year, and nobody was jumping up and down and screaming, because the media wasn't giving it that much attention.
Exactly. Same thing with the immigrant issue. Net zero immigration, because as many of y'all come in here, I'm going to ship you out more than Bush. They didn't talk about it with him unless the issue was coming up. They would passively mention it.
President Obama had
naturalized. We naturalized a million people a year, basically. A little less than a million a year. It's not like we're keeping people out of this country. They want to be here. That's the difference. They want to be here.
Yeah,
there's people that are coming here that don't want to be here. So I think that needs to be addressed.
True. I just needed to get out of where I was. I don't necessarily want to be here. I want to go home. Well, then can you not do bad things here? Can you not try to impose your views? You can be here temporarily. We have no problem with you going. We just got to make your home safe again. Okay. It's fine. Bye-bye.
I don't know, man. I see a lot of Muslim women rising in this country and feeling the power of that freedom. I think that in of itself might actually change a whole point of view within their whole circle. I mean, there's not a lot of countries will allow that. And in this country, they can break away. It's hard. It's not impossible. I think that if they go to college and then certainly they meet other people, they can break away from that whole clique. But I know the areas that where they have established, like Michigan, places like that, those whole towns are Islam, and the people that live there are of Islam. So it's kind of, it's hard to break out of that community because it is a community, but they have no nationality. They have a religion. They don't honor any country, not one. You ask them, what your nationality, they actually say Islam.
That,
which is interesting.
I have not experienced that. And this is a very multicultural city. One of my best friends in high school was specifically from Kuwait and mentioned that. But can't say that necessarily. But the one unifying force between them outside of, the region would be the religion. But see, then you run into the fact that a lot of ignorant Americans don't understand that there are different religions. There's Zoroastrianism. There's, they're Singh, Mr. Singh. What is Mr. Singh? Sikhs. You have Sikhs, and those are the actual nails of the turbans, not Islamic, you stupid. Anyway.
Well, do you know anything about, have you ever read the Quran?
I don't like to. I read it once and I was stuck.
All right, so you don't know anything about it. You know what I mean? So you're talking about ignorant Americans, but in the same breath, you've never read the Quran. So I've read the Quran page to page. As a matter of fact, when my good friend Rory was becoming a Muslim, I read the Quran to him, and he read it back to me from memory, and this went on for a couple of years. I understand it. I understand that, and then the Quran, you know, those groups of people split in half. But people who believed in the written word, people who believed in the metaphor, then those groups split in half. So now in Islam, you have a lot of different groups like Christianity, and a lot of those groups hate each other like Christianity, and they want to battle each other. It's just crazy because, you know what, if you just believe in this creator and you believe in being a decent person, you don't need all these other rules, you know, and they're not helping anybody spiritually either. But if you show me a Muslim who believes in women's rights, I'm going to show you somebody who broke apart from the main thread, and not that they're you know, they're not as conservative as some people like in Iran, but I'm saying like they broke away from their religion because that's what it believes in. And in fact, if you listen to Muhammad said men and women enter heavenly evenly, enter heaven evenly. So it's kind of like they have the same rights, but these people perverted over the years, like every other religion, you know. So you can't get into people's crazy religion, you know. It doesn't do you any good, you know, and you can't understand it either because it's a belief that was created for those people specifically to be controlled. So it's not something you can understand. It's not like a set of rules, you know, I mean, that you can rationalize in your brain, because if you do, then you believe in what they believe in. And I'll tell you, a lot of it's just plain bad, you know, and what they breathe life into is really bad. And that's, we're seeing that now. And you can say radicalized or whatever. Whatever, man. I see what's going on. They just put a bounty on this woman's head for making a video about Muslims. And these are Muslims. These are plain old people. These aren't, you know, ISIS and none of these groups, man. These are people. And they put a bounty on a woman and said they wanted dead because of what she said about Muslims. You know what? That's crazy. But so you're going to preach peace and love, but if I say I don't believe in your religion, you're going to kill me? Really?
Die, American pig.
Infidel.
Exactly. I'm a universalist, man.
Five times in the Quran.
I'm a pirate. I see all the things what it is. Al Sharpton, that's right.
for the listening audience, you just got one of Michael Angley's.
Why did you say Al Sharpton, man?
Because it's got stuck in my head. We're talking about, sorry, let me know. We're talking about, what's his name? Al Franken. But for some reason, I just keep getting this image of Al Sharpton. Now I got the image.
We're just
going
to have to keep Al Sharpton and Al Franken look nothing alike.
I know, man. I know. Look, I'm telling you, it's one of those effed up things. And now it's becoming those visualized images in my head. Oh, yeah, that's just something I want to visualize. That neither one of them a big friend of mine.
You got to stop with the Sharpton. He's gonna call in.
Yeah, he's gonna call in. You stupid white people! I can hear him now. He just don't like white people much. But you know, who knows what happened?
I think he likes money. He likes money.
Him and what's his name? What's the other preacher boy?
Jesse Jackson.
Keep hope alive.
Jesse Jackson's got the same disease that your boy from Back to the Future has, huh?
The same thing Hillary has. Cough, cough, cough. What?
Yeah,
no.
He's like, man, I'm an idiot, man. I can't help saying I'm an idiot.
David
man.
Cassidy.
I'm an idiot. It's one of them things, man.
David Cassidy's in the hospital now, dying of organ failure. Malcolm Young died today.
Is Manson
AC/DC
dead?
Malcolm Young died today.
I seen AC/DC. I carried a story. Yeah. I posted Manson yesterday. Was in the hospital dying, but I hadn't heard if he actually died. Hey, man. Hey, Ron. I see you in the chat room. In the other chat room, Spreak. Hey, man. You know if Charles Manson died? I guess I should look it up. But I just, who knows, man. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe now that Manson's evil influence is leaving the world, we can go back to normal. You know, it's casting out now.
Let's have a spiritual moment where we understand.
You can say the same thing about David. You can say the same thing about David Cassidy, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Maybe if David Cassidy, like, you know, evil spirit leaves the earth, everything will be great.
No, once the Rothschild dies, then maybe we'll be better off.
I thought he did. One of them died in the plane crash, right?
Well, that's not confirmed yet.
And George Soros.
Him gone, and maybe David Rockefeller. We'll see how much the world changes. But, you know, reincarnation is a thing, so we can screw it all over again.
I have a list, man.
Don't say that. Government is immediately listening. I have a list. what?
All the ugly people. Now we have a list of all the ugly people.
How shocked was everybody on the panel when the Saudi Arabian government decided to finally let women start driving?
I was like, oh shit, I'm moving. I'm sorry, I can resist. Women can't drive. I'm sorry, guys.
Why would you?
Their insurance rate to go to the store.
Women can't drive. I'm sorry, they just can't. I mean, it's like, oh my god. Yep.
Excuse me, Joe. You've never been in a car with me, baby.
No, I probably won't get in. You probably scared the hell out of me. Oh no, where's the crash helmet?
I'm going, baby. I'm going hard. I can whip a boat around. It's a boat car.
Like, I drive. We commute every day. I watch these little youngins out there driving, thinking, "Oh my god, thank God I'm in a big truck surrounded by airbags and steel." just cruising along, you know. And I do the speed limit 55. Yeah, that's right. Put my radar snoop on just because I like to hear the sound of it. I'm just saying, you know.
you got people texting and driving, man. You know, that doesn't help. So I see eight out of ten people.
I want to go back to what? How do you say her name? Juanita? Juanita. This is one of the women that said. This is the one that said. Oh, okay.
Juanita Broderick. Juanita Broderick.
For some reason, it looked like Jibble Jabber from where I was looking at it.
Juanita.
Girl, don't make me put some Juanita on your head. Let's see. Anyway, so I'm watching. She's screaming about Chelsea, you know, Chelsea Handler, who we all know is just a nice, civilized woman. You know, this sucks because I used to like Chelsea. You know, I was like, man, she's a crazy bitch. And I watched her on TV, and I watched probably 8 or 9 months of her show. Never ever heard her talk about politics. And man, she just went into this rant with Bill about Obama and how much she loved him and blah blah blah. And then I heard some other rants about, you know, people running against him or running for against Hillary. I was like, oh my god, she's a nutcase liberal like that. She's not even a normal liberal. She's a Fruit Loop liberal.
White privilege rant, that was great. Like, I know I'm privileged. I know I don't have the same opportunity. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Chelsea, yes. And I actually wrote on a blog, Chelsea, yeah, you're actually privileged because you let your boobs hang out your entire life. I'm waiting for her to say somebody sexually harassed her. Half the planet, probably.
1 in 4 women, Joe. It could have happened.
It could have happened, yeah. 1 in 2 guys. Could have happened.
1 in 2
Yeah, everybody's a victim.
Because men don't.
Yahoo, everyone's a victim. Everybody's born a victim.
I didn't see, this is something that really bothers me. So in the United States, it's young women are sexually harassed more than men. But in Africa and in the Middle East, it's young men. And even in India, by far.
Oh, yeah. We've all heard the
thing from her. I was like, whoa, man. So, you know, it just doesn't get reported. And sad, which means it goes on in our country. It just doesn't get reported. It's not socially acceptable.
No. Because it goes on in our country. But then you get mofos like Spacey, who's like, yes, I'm gay, when he's trying to apologize for his acts. Like, no, shut up. You're gay, but you're also.
Oh, look, I told everybody Lex Luthor was messed up anyway. So, you know, the man is messed up. You can't play Lex Luthor and not be messed up. But what can you do? I mean, he's whacked. And you know what? He had a lot of fans. I mean, I was never that big of a fan of his, so it wasn't that big a deal for me. But a lot of people were big fans of his. And, you know, they're devastated by it. And I'm like, well.
I am devastated. I did love the Spaceys, and they canceled my House of Cards. I'm so sad.
And he's suing him over that because he said that they don't have any right to.
There's no moral clause in his contract? Because then, yes, they do, boo-boo.
But you see, this is a good lead in because this is something we got a big problem with in the United States right now. There's this little thing called justice in the law. And in this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. But what I have seen in all these cases, whether they're guilty or not, actually it doesn't matter at this point. All I have seen is tried by media. That's all I've been seeing. I mean, you know, in his case, he came forward just like Franklin's case. He came forward and admitted to at least something. So they did, but in all the other cases, everyone said, no, it didn't happen. So, but you're still judging them ahead of time. So, like in Cosby's case, I notice nobody's dropping The Cosby Show or even Fat Albert, any of that stuff. All of it's still out there, conjunction.
I scrolled over The Cosby Show today. I was like, man, I can't.
And it's on multiple channels at that. So nobody's dropping because this is what happens here. Okay, if these girls don't win, Cosby got a lawsuit.
Like Trump.
You know, you can't just say someone's guilty, and that's what's happening in all these cases. You're gonna see major lawsuits.
We talked about this early on our last show. For one, I mean, rape is different, but you know, you don't shame and the mixed emotions. You don't always come forward. But for sexual assault, which could include molestation, how are you gonna prove that? How you gonna prove it? How you gonna prove it? Let alone 3 decades later, how you gonna prove it?
I seen a report on CNN. They're probably gonna get fired over it. Said that there should be 2 new laws in the books. One, that if you've been sexual assaulted and it's been more than like 5 years, you can't just come public in someone's life, like especially like 30 days before an election, because that's a self-serving agenda, is what that is. Whether it happened or not, you're still trying to keep this person from being reelected without due cause or due process. That should be illegal. You're ruining someone's life and getting their campaign without due process or due cause, and it's not right. We don't live in Russia.
Don't take this as my belief spiel, but say Trump did something to me, and then
he slapped a bitch on the ass.
Are you saying Trump did something to you?
No. Anyway, I was able to exclude myself, turn off the TV.
When did you hang out with him?
But then he started running for president, and I see his face everywhere, and I'm like, triggered. Yeah, that's emotional trauma, blah, 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 blah. Just had to devil's advocate there.
Yeah, but, he's been in the press for years and years all the time.
But he wasn't saturated on my news all the time, because I can turn off WWE if he comes on. Like, whatever, I'm not watching this right now. But if he's on the news 24/7 like he was during the election, and now, can't turn it off, can't get away from it. Everybody wants to talk about it. So I just had a devil's advocate there. I actually agree with what you're saying. I just had to, bring it up.
Yeah. They're gonna have to do something. And then what happens is, like in Trump's case, where a lot of the women got debunked. What recourse is after that if it would have ruined the election or cost him the election or something like that? There would have been no recourse. He could have sued him, but big whoop to shit. That doesn't save America or anything else. There has to come a point where we have to figure out how we're going to deal with this, because we can't keep someone from coming forward, because there's lots of reasons to come forward. Just because it does help other people to come forward, but it has to be done in a way that, look, we live in a country of proof, not hearsay, and this is all this is hearsay.
Yeah, you could tell.
Well, what about Bill Clinton? I mean, look at his victims, and he was president. And then Hillary said every woman's voice counts, and then she said that it doesn't. So which is it?
Well, he was almost
back in the White House, and here is 36 women accusing him. And that's the ones who came forward. That's probably roughly 5%.
Most of the ones I don't care about, because it sounds like some things just got a little out of control. I don't, this guy's governor and he got a little high, a little couple of drinks. But the 2 or 3 that scream rape, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
No. I'm talking about back to when he was in high school. There's people who made claims against him from high school, college, every job he's ever had, everything he's ever done.
That's when we were talking about the one we were just talking about. That's from his past. But, there's lots of these cases like this.
We call that a serial assault of somebody who does it over and over again. These are predators, man. And then, but who the hell is running the country? Think about this. Why do these people get elected, if they're such scumbags? Unbelievable.
Well, here's a perfect example down here. There's going to be a first in New Orleans. We're going to get a woman mayor, because that's only 2 people left. They're both women, both black women, by the way. Not that it means anything, but still, just for history's sake.
Joe is
going to
talk about your economics.
No, it's just about. But anyway, so both these women are going. One of them is a judge. One of them was and been in politics and judging and all for about 30 years. The other one, Latoya Cantrell, sat on the commission, on the board, the council for the city for about 5 years. And so they both come out to find out Latoya was using the credit cards for the, for the council, for her own personal use. It used it to bail her ass out with the IRS, and she was in trouble with the IRS when she had the job, which they're not actually supposed to be able to serve a public seating if they're not in good standards with the IRS. Caught on a couple other things besides that. So she repaid back about half the money she used. I think it was like $25,000. She repaid back about $12,000. And this is all over. They even got an ethics review of her, right? And guess what? She's 20 points ahead in the polls. How can that be? I mean, you got to stop and go, really? Really? Then
because they book crap people. Wait,
I got to answer Clara. Don't take this the wrong way, but a white person couldn't win mayor of New Orleans if their life depended on it. It's not going to happen. It just ain't going to. Maybe if they were like some great person that had been all in the press all their lives, maybe. But other than that, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to. It's true. It's not going to happen.
What if they identify as black? Does that work?
Most cities where you can see when it happens, when the black population exceeds all the rest of the populations in the area. From that point
Baltimore.
Forward, you don't. Yeah, like Baltimore, you just don't see white mayors after that. Whether it's them just not being cowardly and not running, or the fact that they don't think they can win because they're white, regardless, you just don't see it anymore. And sometimes you do see white mayors run, whites run for it, but they're not going to win. It's just not going to happen.
Meanwhile, Baltimore Mayor
because you have a split population.
Meanwhile, Baltimore Mayor
Kelly, you know that other guy that ran for president on the Democratic side on the nomination? Yeah, he was up in Baltimore for a while before doing other stuff in Maryland. So, no, Baltimore has a split population, even among
the Baltimore mayor currently is Catherine Pugh. And Catherine Pugh has run the city completely into the ground. She has no solution. They hit their 300th murder the other day. The residents want more police. She said it's a slow hiring process. How about this? These are the same people who protested police and said how much they hated them and wanted to kill them and all this other stuff. Who wants to be a cop there? You know, really. And especially it's a free-for-all. And then the cops feel like their hands are tied. So there's a whole bunch of political issues, but she should step down and let someone do the job. She said that the 300th murder was disturbing. She said the 300th murder was disturbing. That's what she said. It was disturbing. Disturbing?
You got her.
That 300 people got murdered so far?
Yeah, you got her and the crooked prosecutor who's going to look like she's going to be losing her wealth or whatever she's gained. I see they're letting quite a few of those charges go through all those lawsuits go through from the cops. Even though those cops were reprimanded, by the way, most people don't know that, but all six of the officers that were involved were reprimanded in one shape, form, or fashion. Just so y'all know that it wasn't, none of them went to jail or anything like that.
And I'm not saying every cop is innocent. I'm saying most cops are out there to help people. They're there to help people. They're not there to hurt them. But these people are doing something wrong. They need to rethink what they're doing wrong.
I know shit happens, but in some cases, like in the Michael Brown case, and like in this case we're just talking about, okay, here's a crack dealer, okay, who has been put in jail. He shouldn't even be out. I mean, most states have the three-time loser law like we do. That's it. You don't get out again. Well, this guy's been arrested more times than we can count. No telling how many people he's given drugs to that are OD'd or killed herself or what have you. He gets killed somehow. I'm not going to say how because I don't know. I wasn't there. But we're going to ruin six people's lives over a guy that was basically ruining everybody's life he came in contact with. And it bothers me that someone would defend this person. It just does. Being your kid or not.
Everybody has a right to a proper defense, but it's not about what he was doing. It's the fact that, and trust me, I'm not going to sit here and defend a drug dealer. I think, Joe, you know by now. I'm super defending that. But the fact of the matter is that people are being paid by taxpayers to defend them, and we hold these people to a higher ethic. Like right now, we've got a search going on for a cop killer. That's a term. When you're a cop killer, oh, absolutely not. Oh, we're going crazy over that. But when the cop does wrong against proper training and violates a citizen and kills them when it was unnecessary, if you have proper training, then we're not supposed to get super angry about that. Like, no.
So what do you call proper training?
That's a good point. That's a good point, Michael, because, you know, that's what should have went on. And the way the story was portrayed, that's what we were thought. And then we find out that the prosecutor was keeping witnesses, that there was someone else in the van that seen what happened. And his story didn't jive with hers. That's why none of these guys got convicted, because she lied to the freaking judge. She withheld evidence from the judge. That's why she got in so much trouble with him. He was like, excuse me, you got, wait, what? You've got somebody else in the van. You've actually got an eyes on witness, and you're not going to present him because he doesn't corroborate your story. Okay, this looks like she was trying to shaft somebody, whatever reason. And you can't say it was race. Even though a lot of people, oh, it's race. No, it wasn't race because, you know, it was three black cops, three white cops. This wasn't about race. This was about assertion of authority. I know. That's what I'm saying. This was assertion of authority. And for somebody, you know, she felt like her toes got stepped on somewhere and she wanted revenge. And actually now it's backfired in her face. And she'll probably end up losing her job over this. And she's definitely going to lose her finances over this. And now they're investigating into the $6 million given to the family because they're like, why did we do that again? Because, you know, basically the guy was guilty. And now you got a witness in the van that says he was not unhandcuffed. He was not just rolling around in the van.
Well, so then how is the back broken?
That's like, a good question.
A lot of us here were just like, when they were dragging him, we were like, he already looks dead. He already looks like his back was broken. No. Y'all can say whatever you want about the van and all that. But
you forget they got video of him in the cell and he's moving around and stuff. So that's not true. That's the thing. As far as we know, this could have happened. This could have happened in the jail, as far as we know. And it could have been the cops. I'm not ruling out that it was the cops by any means.
Where it's like, you were alive and now you're dead. You were in police custody. That's negligence, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to prosecute, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, there's a lot of different factors. And like we were talking about earlier with the media and what they're going to present to you, there is an absolute paranoia in the black
community. Don't take this out of character, but this is kind of the cold, cool, hard facts here. Okay, how much money and how much time and resources do you spend on defending someone who is doing damage to your society? When does it become to the point that you're like, oh, what am I doing here? $1 million, $5 million, $25 million, one day, 6 days, 10 days, 2 years, 3 years. When does it come to the point where, okay, what am I doing? There's so many more people out there that truly need me and need me to help them to get somebody, you know, picked up or taken care of. But I'm yet wasting time on something that really, in everybody's eyes, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you were, because really and truly, when you come right down to it and you look at who the guy was, it doesn't matter. He was a nobody in society. He wasn't going to contribute to anything to society. But it's the cold, cruel facts of life. When you see ERs or hospitals, it's the same thing.
You know, you have so many people that are nothing, that are low lives, that are
half of society
for a long time, but they still have the potential to be greater. It's similar to your argument about abortion. And I mean, the other side of your abortion argument is that, oh, when we made it available, all those unwanted pregnancies, all those teacher criminals weren't there, so our crime rates with them, blah, 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 blah. So I don't want to view, I agree with you, Joe, but I don't, because I'm a horrible cold. But you can't, to be optimistic American, you have to say everybody deserves a fair trial. Everybody deserves their chance to be better, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Now,
ghettos out there are set up to fail. The ghettos are set up to fail. And if anybody thinks that they're not, they don't know ghettos. And then you know what repeat offenders are? Do you know what a repeat offender is? Somebody who commits a crime over and over again. So a DA has a budget. They have to stay within that budget to put people on trial. So in the pretrial process, they tend to let a lot of people go. So you take these horrible losers, you keep letting them go back to the same community, they keep committing crimes, maybe they'll get caught again and go back in the system. But it's just repeat, it goes on and on and on and on. It's revolving door justice. You know, they don't get rehabilitated. The neighborhood doesn't benefit by it. So the top 10 most dangerous places in America are all predominantly black. So they're set up to fail. These are ghettos that are set up to fail. Chicago, over 600 murders, toughest gun laws in the country, set up to fail. So the only way to stop it is to destroy those ghettos and then spread things out.
Yeah, but we already know that. Lily and I have broke this down a couple times because we've talked about the restructuring of New Orleans, restructuring of D.C., restructuring of a couple of places.
Yeah, right.
Problem is,
especially New Orleans.
But you're moving crime somewhere else.
Like, you're not. That's the point. Let me break this down. New
Orleans, Joe, but if you come here to PG County where they moved over the lower income people, that's where a bunch of crime is. Like,
I'm gonna show you what establishes the difference, though. And this
lower income doesn't equate to crime.
It doesn't. We have areas that are very low income with virtually no crime. But the thing about it is what really happened here was we forced the people who lived in the ghettos to move into the everyday neighborhoods with everybody else. And what happens is I'm not going to let you come into my neighborhood and run down my property value. Oh, hell no. You're not going to come in and turn my neighborhood into a ghetto. It's not going to happen. But that's the thing.
What you're talking about is the ideal situation.
No, everybody does it, though. That's the thing. It, it, it,
where the
as long as you put them in the right places, it works.
But they don't. They don't care about it because this is a capitalist society. You push them out. You can't afford your house. Let me buy it. Blah, blah. I'm going to flip it and make people pay way too much money for it. We're going to elevate the property values. Everybody who is below a certain income, which is normal income, get out. Go somewhere else. And that's where the crime goes. Unless they come back into the city somehow, if they can make their way back in to rob the people.
That's because they do it the wrong way. You've actually got to have the program set up. You've got to have the properties being built.
They have those in Baltimore.
And the areas where you want to go. But you've got to have the people willing to mix. You've got to have like three of the really nice ones. These are layouts of actually really rich areas in both Chicago and New York. These are four stories high. The whole bottom is just restaurants and businesses and cleaners and stuff like that. The second floor is a mix of some apartments, usually fairly wealthy people, actually, because they usually own two or three of them. And then the top two floors are a mix of everybody, and it works real good. The crime is real low. And what I've noticed the most is for most of the people who get the opportunity to live in these homes, they don't want to F it up. It's not really about the neighborhood police or anything else. It is simply about these people have something that they don't want to give up. It is something nice. It is something safe. Their kids can go there. They can move around. Not to worry about being drug dealers dealing with them. Not to worry about being shot or killed or raped. It is a whole new environment. And besides that, the home is beautiful. It's all pristine. It's all new. They don't want to give it up. And you can't blame them, especially if you've come from some of the New Orleans ghettos, which were just God, they were just disgusting. Roach infested, rat infested, damn things by head, you know, and drugs like you wouldn't freaking believe. And you couldn't even walk down the street and eight people didn't either want to give you some booty or give you some drugs. But it's not like that anymore. That's gone.
But that's the only place that I've even heard of that is doing it that way. Because
we had a catastrophe.
They went to Houston.
Oh. Those guys in the hurricane, they went to Houston,
a lot
man.
Of them went to Houston.
And now Houston had a big, yeah, now a lot of them are moving back. They're going somewhere else because Houston got hit by a hurricane.
New Orleans keeps pace with Baltimore and Chicago for murders, but it's the same problem that they've got. It's black on black for the most part. It's just mainly drug dealers and people like that killing each other. It's a shame that that's what it comes down to. And because that's who's killing each other, because, you know, friends say, oh, it's because they're black. It's not because it's black. It's because they're drug addicts and they're useless parts of society and we're just not going to care. I said that if these were upscale black people or middle-income black people or white people, yeah, we'd be doing something about it. But no, I said, we're letting the drug dealers spend the population for us. I said, nobody's going to change their attitude on that, even though they should. They're not going to.
It's a ghetto genocide, man. They don't care when people die. And if you know black people, you know every time you talk to somebody, oh, yeah, did you hear about so-and-so? He's dead. Did you hear about so-and-so? There's a lot of death in their lives. So why is it like that? And why can't we change it? You know?
Are you guys only talking about black people? When I lived in Arizona, it was just like that.
It was like that for Indian.
It's not a racial thing.
It's not a racial thing. I agree with you. It's not a racial thing. It's a ghetto thing.
I'm talking about straight up ghettos. The ghettos I'm thinking of are either New York City, Chicago, and places like that.
You've got Indian ghettos. You got Mexican ghettos.
Yeah, freaking reservation.
You got
Indians have reservations, and reservations are horrible. Yeah, what they've done to the Native American people is ridiculous. You know what I mean? And nobody ever points that out.
This is what it takes in life. Now I've watched, different ethnic groups coming up in our country. You know, most everybody you see today, whether they're black, Hispanic, white, they got their nice shoes, they got their nice clothes, they got their nice phone. Doesn't matter. They could be low income living in a ghetto somewhere, or they could be high income living here. There are certain things in life now that have become equalizers, like the internet. It allows us to equal a playing field. So it's not – when you talk about poor in the United States, poor in the United States is not the same as poor anywhere else.
Oh, God.
That's for sure.
It's just not the same. I mean, you know, you don't see people in other countries walking around with designer shoes or $1,000 telephones. It's just not going to happen. But here it's just standard because where our society's set up, you can do it. There's a lot of benefits. It's just we got to learn how to play better.
We have the richest poor people, but those poor people have been bought and sold. And how they vote and who gives them stuff, think about that. Think about the politics behind it it's so important to have people on the payroll.
It also costs the most to live here in general. So we're going to have the richest poor people because poor here is rich in other places. So that's not necessarily the best comparison.
Yeah, but still, you got things.
Actually, no, they're government fed. So they don't pay for rent. They're Section 8 people. They don't pay for rent. They don't pay for their light bill. They don't even pay under the Obama cell phone plan. They don't even pay for their cell phones. They don't pay for their groceries. So tell me.
I want some free money, man. What the hell's with this?
The working class people pay for everything.
I know.
And then people who have fun every day.
We were talking about this the other day because I was watching these new tax bills and people are bitching about the rich and the poor and everybody in between. But so this is how I really look at it. So if you're under $25,000 a year, anything you pay in the taxes, you should get back automatically. It shouldn't even be a gift. You should get it back. If you're making, 60 or under, 10%. You know, from 60 to 200, about 15%. But the real problem is here, there should never be a percent. Everyone, rich, poor, in between, should always pay the same tax. Because if this was truly an equal nation and a democratic nation, everyone would pay the same tax rate. You can't really fault someone because they're rich, because they were smart enough or fast enough or clever enough or lucky enough to become wealthy. Doesn't give us the right to tax them 46%. That's outrageous. In any society, you look at
when you have money, say you own your own business, Joe. Okay, so your capital gains tax, all right, the money that your business makes tax, and you're looking at that, and then you take out a salary, and that gets taxed too. And you want to give it to your kids, that gets taxed too. It's just like, and when you're a business owner, Joe, okay, you buy your materials, right? Tax right there. you actually get a contract, tax right there. You get income from it. Tax. It's like there's so many different layers of taxes. It's just insane. So if you own your own business and you're wealthy, you get successful enough to make a profit, you're seeing all these different layers of taxation on every part that you're trying to do.
And then the only option you have if you want to stay in business is pass it on to the customer. And that makes it hard to compete. And see, what makes it even harder, because if you live in poorer cities, see, that's like, Sam and I have talked about expanding to the Gulf Coast, but it's hard for us to do it because New Orleans, we can command X amount of money because it's a big city and there's a lot going on and there's a lot of work and we're known in the city anyway. But on the Gulf Coast, there's a lot of poor people, and especially inland, and they will work for way less cheaper than we can. One, most of them aren't going to have insurance or something. They're still good, contractors are just not legal ones or things along those lines. And you can't really compete with that. If we're going to stay legal and keep a workman's comp and liability and every other thing, we're going to keep up with licenses, vehicles and stuff, you've got to be at X amount of money. And somebody asked me the other day about this, and we price ourselves with Lowe's and Home Depot with the way they charge to make it fair to our customers, because, they're middle line. They're not high and they're not low, and we charge them. Now, it depends what we do, what it's going to cost, but still, these days, right off the bat, let's say I'm looking at a job, $30,000. Okay, well, I already know that $15,000 is going to Uncle Sam. Okay, I know, and then when we include materials and taxes for everybody working, another $5,000 or $6,000, that's going to more tax. That's $20,000. You gotta, unfortunately, you gotta really go high these days to make any money. And if you want to finish it,
a job and you have equipment, there's also the deterioration of your equipment. Eventually, you're gonna have to replace that kind of stuff. It's not everybody just looks at you like, oh, well, you're making money. No, it's not that simple.
But then you have the guys who do it and don't pay taxes. The guys who do jobs for cash, things like that. Because there's a lot of guys around here that do that shit and they don't report. Or they'll say, pay us cash, we'll give you, $200 off or something like that. So,
I can't do that because I can't risk getting in trouble, because then you pull your damn license.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a bitch anyway it goes. And then of course what we do is feast and famine work anyway. So, some years and some weeks you got way more money than you do on other years. It's just how it works out, unfortunately. But
business taxes, because a lot of times businesses owe taxes at the end of the day, which is insane.
Oh yeah, almost all the time. That's why they do them quarterly. So you don't, that's why
unless you're a Catholic church. If so, start a church, the Church of Joe, and then your church.
There's a bill. They've already started taxing churches some way, but they're doing away with their tax exemption. They're going to give them some kind of special rate, like 3% or something. But they told them, they're going to change that. Which they should be. Because if all the money was going to charities or helping people, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But come on, have you seen some of these Catholic churches? Jesus, man. I mean, they're wasting some money there. We know how wealthy the Pope is. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, I had a friend trying to defend the Catholic Church saying, it's in land holdings and art and da-da-da. And I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, Jesus came back and saw St. Peter's Basilica for the National Basilica here in D.C. Guess what? He'd be in there striking it down just like he did with the money changers in the temple. All right? That's not
He'd be handing it out to the people. Come get your chunk.
You got any idea how much gold the Catholic Church hoards? I mean, gold bars, straight up.
Let's talk about the Vatican Bank.
It's unknown. Now, a new book just came out against him about the gay sex in the Vatican dorms, about the whole pedophilia thing that goes through the church, and about how the popes and all these other people, their personal secretaries, had bank accounts in the millions that was non-taxable, and they were able to do whatever they wanted to do. But, you know, they own Beretta firearms and things like that, so I don't put much stock in what they do. I know Jesus would not endorse what they do. I mean, really?
Okay,
give up your possessions and come on to me, baby. Nope.
He's gonna be like, but what are you gonna do? I mean, it's just part of the system.
You would love Jesus. That's your look. You like the guys with long hair and a mustache and a beard. He's kind of got that ethnic look too. You know what I mean?
Imagine a really good-looking, if I remember
the Arabic guy. Jesus correctly, they called him gamely and hard to look on to.
Yeah, nothing exceptional about his image. It was his character that drew us upon him. Yeah, yeah. So
that's how they described him. But you know, hey, he was charismatic, and that's what women like. So
How difficult do you guys think it's going to be for the Senate to come up with a version of this tax bill that's going to be acceptable? Is it going to be passed? Is it going to be on Trump's desk before Christmas?
They look like they mean business. I mean, the House does. I don't know. The Senate is just a mess.
That's why
we need
to go down.
Mitch McConnell. You got Mitch McConnell. That guy's an idiot. You know, he looks like he's totally confused all the time.
Turtle man.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that he's in the position. I can't believe anything. As a matter of fact, I can't believe I say President Trump. This stuff I just can't believe every day. I'm like, did I actually say President Trump? Did I actually say that?
We jumped into the wrong timeline, boo.
It's the movie Idiocracy. And the most popular TV show in that movie was the guy who gets kicked in the balls. So I'm going to hire someone to do that, you know? Ouch my balls. And that's going to be the number one show.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. No more drugs for these people, man. We're cutting them all off now. They're all officially cut off at this point.
As hard as it's going to be for them to come up with some kind of compromise where the Senate bill meets the House bill in the middle, what we were talking about a few minutes ago basically was the idea that if the United States had a value-added tax, which means a sales tax on everything you buy, then that makes, you know, then that does what you were talking about, Joe. It makes it across the board. You know, whether you're a billionaire that's buying a candy bar or one of us, you're going to pay the same amount of value-added tax on that particular item.
Then everything would be a luxury item, just like alcohol, cigarettes, and they would increase the value of
it. And then if you're just some plain old person saving to something, you have to pay all that. You know, all right, I'll give you a nice for instance. Here's, for instance, in New York State, we pay 69 cents a gallon for on gasoline as tax, right? Plus 18 cents to the federal government, plus local taxes. So we pay like $1 a gallon. Now, if I go and get 20 gallons of gas, I'm going to pay $20 to the government for the purchase of that gasoline. If Donald Trump gets $20 in gas, he's going to pay the same thing. So there is a tax that affects everybody, except I'm poor and I need my gas to get to work. You know what? So, if you think about what they tax toilet paper, like in New York State or whatever, man, it's crazy. And who comes up with these taxes, you know? So Virginia's gas tax is 17 cents a gallon. So like, and then they have no sales tax when you like buy a refrigerator or something like that. So there are states that will tax you to death. And those states like California and New York actually have the most welfare recipients. So really they just they bleed people for everything they can get. And now people are just moving out of New York left and right. I have a lot of friends that went down south or out west. You know, people are done. And then what's going to happen in the end? Look at California, right? They get 34% of the welfare from the whole country, but they only occupy 12% of the country. You know, they add 12% to the population. So think about that. And they're a dying state. People are trying to get out of there, man. You know, there's no affordable housing left.
Well, think about
you have these states that have – you have states that have big liberal bases, but they are so unrealistic because the stuff that people need, they're not getting. And when you want to raise your family, listen, if you could have the same job down south and not pay $7,000 a year in property taxes, instead, I have a friend who has a big-ass 4,000-square-foot home in North Carolina. He pays $830 a year in taxes. You know, in New York, in this area where I am right now, on my street, you're going to pay, you know, probably $8,000 or $9,000 for something like that.
I pay $371 a year, man. Lord, y'all get screwed.
But they don't give you anything for it. You know, they don't take the trash away. You know what I mean?
The conservative revolution is coming. Most people haven't been paying attention. No, and it doesn't matter because New York.
We got that idiot Cuomo.
Florida is actually bigger than New York now. Texas is bigger than New York now. Texas and Florida both forecasted to become larger than California. They actually expect Texas to pass California in the next 10 to 20 years. It's just going to pass in size. You're going to have 50 million Texans. See, that's not good for the Democrats because if the Republicans come up with two big voter blocks like the Democrats had with California and New York to cancel them out, the Republicans almost always get more states than the Democrats do. It'd pretty much be the end of their party. They're gonna have to figure this out. They got to figure out the reconstruction of their party.
Well, think about it, dude. New York and California are the big Democratic bases, and then all the big votes and all that happen because of New York and California, because of the sheer population. But yeah, New York and California are both running themselves into the ground. And New York has New York City, which generates billions per year. And they're taking that money and they're destroying it. Look at the subway system breaking down every day now. Fires, all this other terrible stuff because they cut funding.
New York subway system was rooted best in the country. You know, it got there a lot of that.
Lord, obviously they
Who paid for that?
So I hear all my
but think about the concept.
In Detroit are going to get they're getting a new Hyperloop. So now you get your pot real fast out in Detroit, John.
I get the Hyperloop too from DC to New York. I was like, oh, I want that 30 minutes, really? Ooh, but how many billions? No.
Yeah, but how much is it going to cost? I mean, is it going to be like $5 a hop in and run up to New York, or is it going to be like 50 or 100? I mean, that's what you got to ask.
This is the part that liberals seem to miss completely, is that Trump has brought a lot of business back into the country. Then now there's companies like Mercedes going to spend $1 billion and build a plant and hire Americans to work there. So they want to go to Detroit. They're going into Buffalo, New York. They're going to start making these batteries for cars, you know, like Tesla and also Ford invested. That's 8,000 jobs, high-paying jobs. These areas need that like you wouldn't believe, man. And when I first moved upstate, local to where I am, about an hour south is IBM, big spread. They laid off 10,000 people 2 weeks before Christmas, right? People didn't even have a clue. So they went under because they went under, and Johnson went under. So not a whole corridor is economically depressed because there's no business. And New York did nothing to keep other businesses from going, made no deals, nothing. So think of the concept. If this dude Trump can bring businesses back to America, he's going to help people, you know? And then who can fault him for that? You know what I mean?
I know he's going to have a lot more to tout when we get to 2020 than Obama had when he got to 2020. So, I mean,
I don't like everything he says. But it's not even that.
I mean, if you just judge him, and unfortunately, one of the CNN reporters got called down on this the other day and had to admit to it. But if you just judge him, by what he's done. He's been way busier than all but two of the presidents in history in his first 10 months. I mean, the man has been a whirlwind of shit. And he's always in the Congress. Do this, do that. I will get the bill signed. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. You don't see presidents harping on Congress like that. You don't see, you know, and that's the other thing. He's gotten Congress to pass more bills than the last three, well, actually all but two of the presidents. I mean, this guy's making Congress actually go to work and do stuff.
Well, the Democrats are going to try to retake. The Democrats are looking at 2018 like they're going to retake it, man.
They're in fantasy.
They've got no leadership. They're full of scandals. There's investigations. There's all terrible things.
If the Republicans tout what they've got done and what shape the Democratic Party's in, they don't have a chance. They may lose more seats. And that's what happened to your boy in Virginia. If he would have stuck to the party line, he'd have won that race. But he flip-flopped back and forth on Trump, and he flip-flopped, and you know, the country's not in a flip-flopping mood. You got to be, even if you're a Democrat, you've got to be precise right now if you want to get elected. You've got to walk the walk and talk the talk. And I'm not talking political either. They're looking for something different.
Are we going to see Puerto Rico with a push to try to become a state during the rest of the Trump administration?
Yeah. If I was him, I would. This should teach him a lesson.
They got too many problems as it is. You know,
that's one of the reasons you heard the media kind of back off on Trump about Puerto Rico. We're not actually as responsible for them as we are for a normal state. So actually the response for a commonwealth is a little bit different. Even though I tried to explain to people when this happened. Nothing changed. I mean, we didn't get power at my house for 4 months or drinkable water. We had running water, just not drinkable water or bathable water. You could use it for whatever, but you couldn't use it for drinking. That was just us, and we are, you know, in New Orleans. Still, it was a full year before people got complete power in New Orleans, actually a little longer than a year. I think it was like 16 or 18 months. And this is a city that has lots of resources around. I mean, we have big, you know, we have Texas, we have we're right here on the Gulf and the East Coast. We have lots of resources at our hands. So our recovery would be considered a faster one. Puerto Rico doesn't have that. I mean, they're sitting out in the middle of the frickin' ocean. We got to ship everything to them, fly everything to them, and everything costs five times as much because it has to be shipped and flown. And then you got to get people who are willing to go down there and leave their families and work and stay. And you know, it's a tough thing, man. And frankly, the fact that the president handled five of these storms, three of which were Category 5s, that's more than Obama handled his entire career as president. And all of them were worse than Sandy was. All of them. So, I mean, that's what Houston mayor, you heard Houston mayor the other day, he's pissed. He said, Sandy, my ass, we had way more damage than they had. I'm like, whoa, dude, you better calm down there. But that's how he feels, whether it's true or not. I haven't seen the actual total, so I don't really know. But he's pissed about it. He was ranting and raving on television the other day. We're not getting the money. And they just gave him $40 billion.
Houston is not New York, boo-boo-boo. All of downtown New York moneymakers are underwater and some of Long Island? No, you don't get that money. It's like, bye.
Houston's probably bigger than New York is. It's
bigger, but do they make the same money? When your Houston, oil rich town, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Houston's an oil rich town. It has one, two, three, four of the world's biggest refineries are inside of it.
Yeah, like when that oil rig off the coast blew up by y'all, I was like, okay, go.
That's what everybody forgets about Louisiana. A friend of mine told me, he said, well, y'all ain't got no money. I said, shit, Louisiana, like fifth richest state in the union. But what the hell are you talking about? We own some of the richest oil land in the freaking country. And Louisiana has sweet crude. It's the best crude oil on the planet, baby. You can only find it in Louisiana, too. It needs less refining than any crude oil anywhere on the planet. They love this stuff.
It comes with barbecue sauce, man.
Shit. It almost – I like what the guy said on the commercial.
Waffles.
Pre-separates
waffles and fried chicken.
Wait, it pre-separates?
I don't know where that – I don't know FedEx, where that waffle
FedEx shit needs from. Waffles and fried chicken, man.
You know,
I'm hungry now.
Who started that waffle crap with chicken? I don't know where it started. Some people say up north. Some people say on the East Coast. Some people say in the South. I have no idea where that crap started at. But people still do a big old Belgian waffle with, you know, three or four pieces of chicken on it. I'm like, why did you screw my waffle up by putting that nasty, greasy chicken on my waffle, man? What's wrong with you?
Yo, It's waffles with southern fried chicken with a nice heavy gravy poured over that. That's food. That's food. That's food, man.
That's
you're not like, gonna get much better than that.
I can feel my arteries clogging while you're talking.
I didn't say it was healthy. I didn't say it was spinach salad. I'm saying it's waffles with fried chicken with gravy. You know what? It's like smoking a cigarette. You know what you're doing. You know what I mean? It just feels good. You like it.
So quick question, Paul. Why do you think Asia has a fascination with Humpty Trumpty? Because I mean, his response. I mean, Europe's response.
You know why? You want to know why? It's a stupid reason. Is you're gonna laugh your ass off. Because for several years now, all right. So like in China, there's no trademark shit. They can call whatever they want. So in China, there's thousands of products called Trump toilet, Trump sink. So like, and so in their word, it's the best of the best, and it's gold, and it's Trump, right? But so all these years, people, you know, the way before he was president, I mean, like Trump's a big figure, you know, he's a financial figure. So, you know, people say this is Trump toilet, Trump tub, Trump is Trump, whatever, man. So they know him because of that. Isn't that crazy?
Well, he definitely seems probably. Well, I mean, the Europeans liked him too, and I love when I got to see an in guy the other day, really good, because they're like, "Oh, Europeans hate Trump." I'm like, "Really?" I said, "You really believe that?" And I said, "What is there? 23 nations, only 21 of them are all right wingers, man." I said, "Yeah, they love Trump over there." I said, "The countries along the Russian border is loving more than anybody else does." I said, "I've read what BBC wrote about him. BBC likes him; they don't dislike him." I said, last I checked, Theresa May was a conservative.
Yeah, I said, tried to ban him and stuff. And
yeah, that was over that ignorant London mayor. Since then, that guy's lost credibility. So, and Trump's been steady getting things done.
I'm going to give myself a Trump toilet, man. I'm telling you, there's something to that.
Trump only makes. What do you think of Ivanka? Man?
I don't like Trump's sons, but I like Ivanka. I think she's cool.
Yeah,
I like her for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
she's cool. I like the way she holds herself. I like powerful women. I like the way she holds herself. You know, and I don't know. There's just something about her. I think she's president.
The wife's been a surprise for me. I mean, she's at first I was wondering how she was going to handle this, but she seems to be coming in and filling her role. And now I see she's with her husband all the time. Now she's traveling with him. She seems to be taking the role of first lady seriously. And what I loved was one of the CNN reporters who was assigned to Michelle Obama has been assigned to Trump. And she said she's a fabulous woman. She said she goes out of way. She said everybody mistakes her for being quiet for other things. She said, but when she's got something to say, she has no problem saying it. And she said she's really outstanding with children. So and this is a woman who basically, you know, worked with Michelle for a while. It was just nice to hear somebody saying something nice for a change instead of, oh, she's got high heels on. Really? Well, women wear high heels, last I checked.
Melania's attire have to do with anything? Why do they feel the need to go after Melania so hard when it's really Trump they hate? I guess it's your husband, blah, blah, blah. And you know what?
Because
the other side did the same thing to Michelle and their girl.
Yeah, you know, to Michael. And
I don't care what she's wearing. I don't care how much it costs. They've been rich beforehand. Leave them alone. I don't care. What is policy? Publicity.
Because they're trying to compare her with Michelle. There's no comparison. You know what I mean?
Michelle is not a model. She was not a fashionista. Okay, blah, 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 whatever. No,
she dressed,
I don't like
Michelle
it.
Dressed like a rummage sale. You know what I mean? like a rummage sale.
Lordy.
You know? Like a transvestite rummage sale.
You know what I noticed about Michelle? Michelle made a lot of mistakes in her first 4 years. She did a lot of things that would have been touted as racist, and she did have bad taste in clothes. But her second 4 years, she got with somebody who actually knew how to dress a first lady. And she started looking like a first lady. The only thing, man, the main bitch I ever hear about Michelle anyway about her dressing is she used to like to wear, you know, sleeveless clothes. I still don't see what the problem is with that, but apparently, you know.
Crap about her going to a church in Italy with sleeveless or hang off the shoulder top. And I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care what Melania wears. And I definitely don't care what Michelle and Obama do.
You know what? How about this? I'll say something good about Michelle Obama, first time ever. When she was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, she was great. You know what I mean? She was quarterback of the Steelers. She was amazing.
Oh, that poor baby. You know what?
She got those arms. Come on, she got those arms. Look at her arms. She has, like, super strong arms, man.
Yeah, I don't have near as much problem with Michelle as I did with her old man, but
Barack was built like Gumby. You know, Michelle had the football body, right?
Obama was a bottom. Michael was the top. What do you want?
Bottom, slap. Top. So sexual. the are you saying that Michelle's a transvestite? A lot of people say she has a penis, which would make her a he.
I'm citing speech that we can pull up on video where Barack referred to Michelle as Michael twice.
Wait, but that's nothing in common. I call my granddaughter.
I don't know. No. There's a lot of pictures of Michelle out there with a penis.
I call Michael
when she was on Ellen. When she was on Ellen, there was a penis. Maybe she wears a cock piece. Maybe that's something that she likes to do. But there's something going on down there. In fact, there's a lot going on down there. I'm not just kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm saying there's pictures out there, a lot of them, just her walking to a car, and then here's this, you know, I think you see her penis and you know, her testicles.
Okay, so one thing.
I didn't make that up. It's not Photoshop. It's not Photoshop. It's not Photoshop. I didn't make it up. I'm just saying that there's a lot. Joan Rivers said that she was a transvestite and she died like a day later.
And then they killed her. What I just got to put this out.
She's
everywhere. When you wear pants, sometimes the crotch right up and it looks like you have. We're not talking about that. This lady wasn't dressed. All right?
Pants. Talking about a dress. She was wearing a dress in a lot of these cases.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, we're not talking about
maybe
pants.
I mean, all right, maybe she has a medical condition. Maybe
she's got something. That Obama was the first transvestite president, right? Is that what y'all trying to say? That he was really a she?
He hung out in gay circles. Everybody knew that. And he referred to himself. You know, if you read his book, I mean, he said for a while there he wasn't sure if he was gay or not. And all that. I mean, people, I think the media didn't read that. I read the book, but, you know, I mean, that's some people, whatever, they make a decision. But in Hawaii, he was in a big gay circle, you know, and then he introduced himself as a foreign student.
He was looking for the money, man, and the gays got the money a lot of times. Can't hate on that.
But seriously, has no one seen the mom that's talking about how her son was with him and then her son was died, let's say. And that she's just torn up. She's been on this since he started running, I think, as senator. It's out there. Believe what you will.
I don't believe that Michelle is a male. I do believe that Barack probably went back and forth, which is fine. I don't, you know what? I don't blame bisexuals. I don't judge people on their sexuality. I judge them on their character, and he has crappy character. He's a liar, and he's done terrible things to our country. So I'll never forget that about Barack Obama.
He was a politician.
You know? Well, you don't have to lie. You know, I mean, he's done terrible things, and he took our country in a terrible direction. And then he also was against us. You know, I think he had deep-rooted problems with his father. He had all these things, dreams of my father. I read that book. If you want to sleep, read that book. You will fall asleep, man. It's boring as a day is long. It's just about him ranting about what a loser his father is, basically. But blames America for it, you know. And then his father was expelled because he wasn't doing anything. He was into drugs. He had been arrested a few times. Whatever. The mom didn't make good decisions. You know what? Just like Kaepernick's mom. You know, his mom is white. His father's black. His father took off early. She messed with all these black men. They all either abused him or did something terrible. So in his world, in his opinion, that's happened because of racism. You know, whatever, man. I mean, whatever made the guy kneel down. Obviously, with deep-seated problems within himself. It wasn't about police officers shooting black guys or that type of thing. But, you know, I think that people's insecurities really show.
That's honestly a good point, and it's a discussion for another day because I'm not going to pretend. It's true in other communities, but also in the black community, you have that, you know, single-parent syndrome and then what you see happening as a result of it. I'm not going to pretend that that's not prevalent. In the black community, it happens to others, but still prevalent in the black
single
community.
Single parent, if so they're lucky.
What does that happen to your semblance of authority with the majority of police officers being males? What does that happen to your opinion of a male authority figure trying to tell you not what to do and being abrasive and da-da-da when you don't even have that experience? So that's a good point in that. You know, I might have to look into that one, Michael. Thank you.
Of course. Because I'm a wealth of information.
See, I can't thank you for anything with your cocky self. I was surprised when you said the day, as boring as the day is long. I was like, what is long? Michael's
you know what with me? this is how I do my thing. When I look at these guys, I don't listen to what they say. I look at their character. And I'm a private investigator in my real life. So I like looking at people's backgrounds and just trying to understand psychologically where they come from. As to what you're dealing with. And I think the guy's struggling. You know, Kaepernick, you know, while I don't have a problem with what he did, I really don't. I don't watch football, number one. Number two, if that's the rules, that's the rules. That's fine. If you do something like that, it's against the rules, good, kick him out. Whatever, man. You know what I mean? But they made it a big deal. It wouldn't even be going on today if they didn't make it a big deal. But the guy's got struggles. He's got problems. And I don't think the people who are taking the knee understand where he was coming from, his true intention. His true intention was really personal.
That's not fair, though, because, I mean, you could say a lot of different leaders had trouble. Malcolm X had trouble. Martin Luther King Jr. had affairs and all that kind of stuff. FDR had his weird problems because he was a sissy boy, and then he wanted to be a man's man, go hunting and bust the moon party. So a lot of the different leaders have troubles. You can't use their
troubles.
You know what? That was part of the God, Zagat Park, the 1%. The people were like, we are the 99%ers, 99% movement. It was actually based off of his last name is Shark. It was a theory about how to successfully protest. And you don't want one leader, because you don't want to let people take that one leader and their faults, because they're human, and degrade your whole movement. So we can't look at just the leader.
Sure. You know what? It's like I'll tell you a story about these guys who live locally to where I am in Ithaca. Ithaca is one of the liberal armpits of the world. You know what I mean? In fact, Ithaca and Berkeley are the armpits of America, honestly. So there's this group that they don't work. They don't do anything. All they do is protest. And they get fed money from, like, college professors or whomever so they can go out and do this. So it was right before the Iraqi war. In fact, the war had just broken out. These guys went to the recruitment center. They actually had some kind of weird ritual where they had a nurse draw their blood, and they went to the recruitment center the following day and threw their blood all over the recruitment center, the flag, the whole bit. I knew a couple of these guys, and they got arrested. They actually went to jail for 6 months because that's their badge of honor, to go to federal jail because the local court bossed them out. But they went to jail for 6 months. Being a martyr, wasting our time and money and all that, and that's kind of what they do. But I said to them, like, I'm like, if you want to influence somebody and you know, have them see your opinion and or your point of view, you just destroyed it by throwing blood on the flag, and you alienated so many people. They're going to look at that as just a horrible act against them, and they're going to take it personally. It caused a huge backlash.
You know, guys, Papa John's is suing the NFL.
Papa John's just backed down.
No, that's not true. The guy backed down, but he doesn't own Papa John's anymore. He only owns like 20%. The company is still suing the NFL. They're like, because they say they cost them anywhere from 5 to 10 million pizza orders.
But it was like, you see the report, $70 million in like a day. I think it was a little more than that.
They're not going to let that slide. But
Joe, you brought this up. Joe, you were this one that actually brought that up first in terms of what I heard on the network. You were like, money. Once it messes with the money, y'all are going to have problems. And look, Papa was like, I'm not happy about this. And then, like you said, we see the kneeling dying down. And now we got the loss.
And the thing of it is we need something better.
They should take a knee right in the middle of his pizza. Like, take a knee right on his pizza. Hey, you know what, man?
He's hating on Papa John's, man. Well, I'm ready for Papa John's, but still.
I want to do that. I want to take a knee in a Papa John's. But, you know, they're local.
You're talking about the core of our liberty. And I'd like to think that if anybody out there had a passionate thing to protest, within its proper way of doing it, because there is a right way and a wrong way of protest. But you know what? Do it the right way and say what you got to say. That's beautiful, man.
We got to get our butts out of here. But Ron wants to know if Lily's single. Ron from Spreaker. Yeah, she's single, man. She said, okay, you got to make at least $85,000 a year minimum. On your way to making more than that, you know, we expect within 5 years that you double it up to 160.
You need a portfolio.
That's right. You need a good portfolio.
She wants to see your. Yeah, she wants to see your portfolio.
Italian.
You gotta like babies. You got a little baby hanging out.
For French, she will go for French, but she would prefer Italian.
I don't go for French. No French.
I'm not talking about people.
You got to be able to watch the baby while she goes out.
Yeah, you gotta do that. Why she goes and hangs out with her friends and stuff, and has a good time.
Yeah.
And you can't bitch about it if she comes in drunk either. So.
Just set them straight. Just describe yourself 20 years ago, and then that's probably ideal. Oh no, I'm kidding.
Oh, that was just. I have to. She needs to be spanked.
That's what he.
20 years ago, you were 20 years ago, you were six. Jesus Christ, man.
She was, I know, damn. Like a kinky year. Freako pervert people we got going on around it. Anyway, we're
20 years ago, I was 31. Oh, man. You're with a bunch of old men on here.
I was 17, 20 years ago.
I enjoy mature folks, okay? I've always been older than my generation, okay? What Joe and I talk about.
More experience. Older guys are more emotionally secure and experienced. And exactly. Also financial security. That's why a lot of younger women want that security.
And we know other things, ladies.
And we don't have man buns. They know man buns. You don't have a man bun, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You can't even talk to me if you got a man bun.
We're not in a romper at the club every week.
We know how to make you get up and cook breakfast in the morning.
Yep, sure do.
You have such a smile on you cook the breakfast smile in the evening, whenever it happens to be. Anyway, that's the last note. We out of here, people. Greg fell asleep on us. He's like,
no, Greg talks to the intermissions.
Greg, are you asleep?
I'm trying to wrap my mind around man bun.
Oh, God, come on. Anyway, guys, girls, we got to get out of here. Y'all can catch this on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, wherever the hell you want to listen to it at. It's great to listen to us all. We had a lot of fun tonight. If you got any moans, groans, bitches, gripes, or whatever, write to Michael or Greg or Lily, because I really don't give a shit.
Mike and I shouldn't have a sex show, because I'm not doing that.
A sex show? Oh, yeah.
You!
But style it with some 70s, you know, be some 70s.
Yeah, we're calling it Menage a Ranch, and Christina George is going to be in it.
I wasn't joking. Please, yeah, organize.
Christina said she was just going to wear a little strap on the top.
Okay, we can do it. We can do it.
Anyway, we're going to get out of here before we all get in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in. Take a listen to the show. Tell us what you like. And again, be sure to go to YouTube and subscribe to the new United Public Radio station over there. Also, check out our friend Dave Scott at night on Spaced Out Radio. Give him some love. We'd like to see his numbers to keep going up, so go give him some love also. If you got anything you would like to donate or help out with the station, you can go to any one of our pages. So you can also go to the pages and find our schedule and our weekly lineup. Anyway, I think that's about it. Lily, thanks. Mike, thanks. Greg, thanks. Everybody, thanks for listening. We're out of here. Coming up next, coming up next is the rerun. Spaced Out Radio will be on at 11. See y'all then. Dun, 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 dun.